Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. This is Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. Today, we're talking about the seven plagues prophecy in the Book of Revelation. If you are with us and you'd like to see the basic study notes that accompany every talk that we have here on this show, you can go to blogtalk.com/liveprophetic, and there, when you click on the link for the program, you will see two slides, one slide that has basic information, including our PGN text phone number, which is 1-214-505-8719, as well as our PGN phone number, 1-319-527-6027. You can use those numbers to connect with PGN during the live broadcast. And if you have a question or you'd like to share your perspective on the Book of Revelation, you can use the PGN text phone number 24/7. And again, that PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. If you want to talk live during the broadcast, use our PGN phone number. When you call, you press 1 to put your hand up in the virtual queue. If you don't raise your hand, then all PGN ministers, we know that you are using the phone to connect to the program, but I will not call on you unless you have your hand raised. So you can use the PGN phone number as a way to connect live during the show for purposes of listening or for talking one-on-one with the PGN host for the program that you're listening to. So in addition to that basic information on slide number 1, when you go to blogtalk.com/liveprophetic, on the second slide are basic study notes. So these are to use in case it's helpful for you as you are listening during the live broadcast or perhaps afterwards in your own study time or prayer time. So I want to share with you what's on the basic study notes. One-page slide, the date of last revision, as well as what the basic study notes are for, appears in a header, as well as a link. And then there are seven topics. The name of the statement of prophecy in the Book of Revelation is shared. For example, today we're talking about the seven plagues prophecy. So that appears under letter A on the basic study notes. By my analysis, I'm Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. I share here on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, and by my analysis, there are 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. What we've been doing since April of 2022, that's this year, is each month for every program, we focus specifically on one of the statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. And today we're talking about the seven plagues prophecy. That's the seventh of 12 statements of prophecy. If you're just going in order from the first statement of prophecy, which begins in chapter 5, and the last statement of prophecy ends in chapter 22. So what do we have in the Book of Revelation? It begins with an abstract or preface. Then there's a formal introduction, the second half of chapter 1. Then we have the literal testimony of Jesus Christ, seven words for the seven churches that existed at the time that John the Revelator lived in a physical body on this present earth. Then in chapter 4, we have John's report of heaven. So he was literally called up to heaven. And when he got there, he saw some things. So, of course, he was shown visions, documentaries, if you will, documentaries from an angel. An angel showed him documentaries that were generated by an omniscient God. And in these documentaries, which he saw literally in front of his eyes, visions, he saw the future. And before he saw, before he was shown these visions, which are the 12 statements of prophecy that begin with chapter 5, in chapter 4, John the Revelator tells us exactly what he saw when he was, quote unquote, caught up to heaven. Now, I find that very interesting. So he describes the throne that he saw and a glassy sea and four living beings and the 24 members of the Sanhedrin and the he describes many things. I'm going to pause there because today we want to focus on the seven plagues prophecy. And so on the basic study notes under letter A, the basic study notes are one page, one slide, just for your reference and in case it's helpful to you. So this statement of prophecy that we're focused on today is the seven plagues prophecy in the book of Revelation. It's the seventh of 12 statements of prophecy under letter B. I share the location in the book of Revelation. So this statement of prophecy begins with verse 1 of chapter 15, and it ends with the last verse of chapter 16, that's verse 21. Under letter C, I share where you can find the movie trailer in words, and under letter D, where you can find the movie in its entirety in words. Now, why am I using the word movie? So I have that in parentheses. If we're talking about professional writing terms, the language is abstract. So when we look at nonfiction reports, particularly nonfiction reports that are complex, we have a format that's used everywhere in the world today where researchers conduct research. So whether we're talking about the United Kingdom, the United States of America, Africa, Australia, or elsewhere, we see that scientists began nonfiction reports with an abstract, and then that abstract, which is essentially a movie trailer in words, it's followed by a full report. And surprisingly, this is one of the secrets that God has revealed to me, and me, I'm sharing it with you. So that's the format we see for every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So for the seven plagues prophecy, if you want to see its movie trailer in words, which I will share with you and with us today, that movie trailer in words begins with verse 1 of chapter 15 and ends with verse 8 of the same chapter. So chapter 15 in its entirety is the movie trailer in words for the seven plagues prophecy. Under letter D on the basic study notes, I share the location for the full report. So if you want to see the full report of the seven plagues prophecy, go to chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. There are 21 verses, and chapter 16 in its entirety has the full report of the seven plagues prophecy. So what about key topics? So a non-exhaustive list of key topics covered in the seven plagues prophecy under letter E on our basic study notes. So what are they? The seven final plagues, the seven vials, the seven bowls, and Armageddon. So that's a non-exhaustive list of key topics. By the way, the seven bowls, the seven vials, the seven plagues, we're talking exactly about the same thing. And, of course, another topic but related is Armageddon. Keywords, phrases, and numbers. So under letter F on our basic study notes, here are some of the keywords, phrases, and numbers. The seven bowls of the seven plagues, the wrath of God, Armageddon, and mark of the beast. So if you have an interest in any of these topics, the mark of the beast, which will be used during the Great Tribulation period, during that 1,260 days period, the false prophet who will work in tandem with the Antichrist will compel people to get the mark of the beast, to get that mark on either the forehead or on the hand. So the mark of the beast is discussed in this seven plagues prophecy, which we're about to go to in just a few minutes. The Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars, a war waged in righteousness, a war that has two sides. On side number one, you have the Antichrist as well as the false prophet leading the armies of the world in a battle, in a location, specifically Israel. And on side two, on the other side, is Jesus leading the armies of heaven. So you have the armies of the world versus the armies of heaven. You have the Antichrist and the false prophet versus Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You have Satan versus God. That is the Battle of Armageddon, and it's discussed in this Seven Plagues prophecy. Also, a key word and phrase for the Seven Plagues prophecy is the wrath of God. So we have the wrath of God, which we're going to focus on today, versus the wrath of Satan. This is such an important point. I want to make sure that we understand what specifically the wrath of God is and how it's different than the wrath of Satan. So we're going to talk about that today. And, of course, the seven bowls of the seven plagues, which we are going to hear because that is what is described in the seven plagues prophecy. So what appears last on our basic study notes? When you look at the 12 statements of prophecy, they are all recordings, if you will, documentaries, if you will. So a movie can be a work of fiction, or a movie can be a work grounded in reality, a documentary. So I like to refer to the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation as documentaries because they reflect realities, facts. They are predictions grounded in reality about our future. Most of the predictions in the book of Revelation focus on a specific time period, the 3.5-year Great Tribulation. Some of the predictions in the book of Revelation have already occurred and focus on events that were in the future relative to the life of John the Revelator. So he penned this book in approximately 70 AD. That was almost 2,000 years ago. So some of the events in the book have happened before 2022, but most of the events in the book focus on the 3.5-year Great Tribulation period. So if we were in the future and 12 of us were tasked with making a documentary about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we all were given a recording device, due to constraints, let's say we were all given the constraint of your documentary must be 90 minutes or less, what I would include from hours and hours and hours, weeks, months, even years of footage, what I would include in my 90-minute documentary would look different from what you would include in yours and what our friend across the street would include in his, and what our friend in another location would include in hers. However, all of us would have a documentary reflecting realities. And so when you think about the book of Revelation, it is essentially that. John the Revelator was shown visions in heaven. An angel was instructed by Jesus Christ to show John visions, which were movies that he saw in front of his eyes, documentaries reflecting future events. So every statement of prophecy has one or more of these three things: predictions, admonitions, and consolations. Predictions are events, admonitions are warnings, and consolations are words provided in the face of distressing information for the purpose of bringing hope. And so we have one or more of those three things in every statement of prophecy. Sometimes we have all three. Sometimes we have only the predictions. Sometimes we have the predictions and admonitions, warnings and instructions. Sometimes we have the predictions plus the admonitions plus consolations. For example, in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we have both predictions and admonitions. Okay, so finally, before we go into the prophecy, what about the basic study notes? If you're looking at the seven plagues prophecy and thinking about all the statements of prophecy, how does it hang with the other statements of prophecy? In my opinion, and this could change, but as I look at it today, I think about it hanging together with the marriage supper prophecy, which is a dynamic and detailed report of the Battle of Armageddon. And it makes sense that it hangs together with that one because the Battle of Armageddon is referenced in verse 15 of chapter 16 in this seven plagues prophecy. So that makes sense. In addition, the purple and scarlet prophecy, which appears after the seven plagues prophecy, my perception is that it hangs well together with that one. So if you wanted to think about it that way, you can. So I just, again, want to communicate that if you wish to look at some basic study notes that allows you to perhaps more easily follow along with our live broadcast, or perhaps you're listening to the broadcast from an archive, those basic study notes are available to you. By the way, they're available to you at blogtalk.com/liveprophetic. So you can go to the archive for PGN and then look for the date. So today's date is Sunday, December 4th of 2022, and this is Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. So the basic study notes are there. They are a part of the digital archive. By the way, everything on PGN is free. There's no merchandising of the Word of God on PGN. So like Prophet Randy Chandler, and like everyone as far as I know who contributes to PGN, I believe that merchandising the Word of God is wrong. And it's important to share the good news at no cost to the people of God and to those that we hope to win to Team Jesus. So whatever I have on the Book of Revelation is always available to you free at no cost here on PGN, and I'm so excited about that, excited to share with you about the seven plagues prophecy today. So let's go to it. I want to share with you first the movie trailer in words, the abstract, if we were using fancy terms, but I don't want to use fancy terms. I want to use plain language. So let's hear the movie trailer in words. for the seven plagues prophecy in the book of Revelation. Reading from the New Living Translation, it says, "Then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire. And on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. Then I looked and saw that the temple in heaven, God's tabernacle, was thrown wide open. The seven angels who were holding the seven plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in spotless white linen with gold sashes across their chests. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and power. No one could enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues." That is the end of the movie trailer in words for the seven plagues prophecy. Briefly, in your opinion, is this a compelling movie trailer? Do you wish to know more about the seven plagues prophecy? And what was revealed in this movie trailer in words? So a couple of highlights from the abstract, the movie trailer in words of the seven plagues prophecy. We're told that seven angels hold the seven last plagues, and that these seven plagues bring something called God's wrath to completion. And we also learn that in heaven, there are four living beings, and that these four living beings were handed each of the seven that these four living beings handed to each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God. And so these four living beings are also referenced in John's report of heaven. So in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, we get a physical description of these four living beings, as well as the throne in heaven, and the 24 elders, the 24 members of the seven of the Sanhedrin. And so in this seven plagues prophecy movie trailer, we're told that these four living beings hand to the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God. And then finally we're told, and this is a wonderful cliffhanger, this really, really makes me want to hear the full report. It makes me want to hear the movie in its entirety of the seven plagues. We're told that no one is allowed to enter the temple in heaven until the seven angels have completed pouring out the seven plagues. So we learned in the movie trailer that the seven angels get the seven plagues from the four living beings in heaven, and that these seven angels are going to pour out the seven plagues, which represent the completion of the wrath of God. So a movie trailer, but a ton of information. Something relatively short that has a lot of information. It covers a long span of time because it's a movie trailer. Now, when we go to see a movie like Wakanda Forever or maybe Rocky V or Planet of the Apes, one of my favorite movies, when we go to see any movie, we're not surprised or confused when we see scenes that we've previously seen in the movie trailer. Because, in fact, the purpose of a movie trailer is to get us primed, to get us ready for the actual movie. And so the movie trailer has key scenes, key players, key conflicts, but we don't have all the details. And so when we hear the movie trailer in words, the abstract for the seven plagues prophecy, there's some missing information, right? We hear that the seven angels will pour out the seven final plagues, which represent the wrath of God, but we don't actually get a report of them doing it. And another thing that is missing is, well, what actually are the seven final plagues? And who do they impact? And how are those individuals impacted? So now let us go to the full report of the seven plagues prophecy. That's in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. You will be the judge of whether the movie in its entirety is exciting. I believe that you will find it amazing. And what's so important about this particular movie, the full report of the seven plagues prophecy, is that it's not fiction. It is reality. We're told in the book of Revelation that every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is true and sure to come to pass. And so reading from the New Living Translation, here is the full report of the seven plagues prophecy that follows the abstract. Beginning with verse 1, of chapter 16, and reading it in its entirety, here it is. Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath. So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Let's pause there. So we hear in verse 1 that a mighty voice in the temple of heaven says to all of the angels who have the bowls containing the seven final plagues that they are to go and pour out onto the earth, this earth that we live on, the seven bowls containing God's wrath. And in verse 2, the first angel leaves the temple in heaven and pours out the first bowl. And so then on earth, we will have, when this happens in our future, the first of seven final plagues. Now, who experiences this? Specifically, we're told, quote, everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. So what does that mean? That means that during the period of the Great Tribulation, which is 1,260 days, that is described in the 1,260 days prophecy, prophecy number three, and in prophecy number four, the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we're told specifically that the Great Tribulation is the period during which the mark of the beast will be administered. The mark of the beast is represented by the number 666, and a person shall be able to receive it on either his or her forehead or on his or her hand. And here in the seven plagues prophecy, again, we're told who will receive the wrath of God. Who will it impact? It says, so the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. So we learned in the 666 Antichrist prophecy of the book of Revelation in chapter 13 that during the time of the Great Tribulation, if a person fails to bow to the statue with the image of the beast, then that person may be killed. That the penalty for failure to bow down when compelled to the image of the mark of the beast is death. And so those who bear the mark of the beast will actually worship his statue, which will bear the image of the beast, and part of that worship will be bowing down to it, literally. That's hard for us to imagine. Those of us who live in countries like the United States of America, or if you live in a place like Sydney or Switzerland or Geneva or Mexico City, we don't bow down to our leaders. In some countries, part of their culture is to bow as a sign of respect. For example, in countries like Japan or China, in my work, as a professor, some of my students from these countries bow down to me. Certainly, I don't require that. I don't expect it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It's not a part of our norm. But here's the thing about the future. We know from the seven plagues prophecy that in the future, people everywhere, so that's in everywhere means everywhere. People everywhere who have the mark of the beast will bow down. Now, malignant sores. Let's talk about this first of the seven final plagues. I want to share a definition of malignant with us. So malignant is not a good thing. If a sore is benign is okay, but malignant means tending to produce death or deterioration. So reading from the Merriam-Webster dictionary, malignant is defined as tending to produce death or deterioration, especially tending to infiltrate and terminate fatally. So the wrath of God, this first plague, is generated for the purpose of terminating fatally, infiltrating, and being injurious towards the individuals who receive it. And so again, who will receive a malignant sore? It says everyone who has the mark of the beast and who worships his statue. So necessarily, the implicit instruction for anyone who hears this truth is, do not take the mark of the beast. Surely, with a certainty, if you or I or anyone takes the mark of the beast, he or she, if alive, during the time of the wrath of God, which happens after the wrath of Satan, which is the Great Tribulation, necessarily any person who is alive at the time that the first plague is poured out, if the individual has the mark of the beast, he or she will receive, experience, be struck with a malignant sore. Let's hear the second plague. So we heard that the first plague is a malignant sore that breaks out on everyone who has the mark of the beast. And in verse 3, we hear about the second plague. It says, then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. So this is similar to a plague that occurred in earlier times, right? During the time of Moses and Aaron, plagues, 10 plagues happened upon the earth as a part of the will of God, under the inspiration and power of God. And now we will see in our future, again, as a result of the will of God, plagues, but this time these are final plagues. What does that mean? Final means the last time. So there will be no more plagues of God after these 7 final plagues. We heard in the movie trailer for the 7 plagues prophecy that this brings to completion the wrath of God. So it will be complete when these 7 final plagues have been poured out. So this happens, this second plague, which specifically, what is it? The sea will become like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea will die. So what's in the sea? We have living creatures. We have plant life. Everything in the sea will perish, and the sea itself will become like the blood of a corpse. So this is impacting now the earth itself. Let's hear what the third plague is and who specifically is impacted. In verse 4, it says, then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, you are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward. And I heard a voice from the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, your judgments are true and just. So we hear that the third of the 7 final plagues, which represent the wrath of God, which are in their entirety bringing the wrath of God to completion, the third of the 7 final plagues is when the rivers and springs turn to blood. So the second final plague has the sea turning into blood and everything in the sea perishing. The third of the 7 final plagues takes that same experience to the rivers and springs. So rivers and springs have fresh water. as from what I understand, and the seas have salt water. So now we see all of the waters with the second and third final plagues turning to blood. So there's an escalation, if you will, moving beyond just the sea to include all the waters of the earth, specifically the rivers and springs becoming blood. Interestingly, we're told that these plagues reflect God's justice, that those who are the enemies of God have shed the blood of his holy people. Who are his holy people? Everyone who is in Christ. Everyone who has found and followed God's plan for salvation. And God's prophets are noted. So, of course, God's prophets are included in the holy people, but they are singled out. And we're told that the blood of the prophets have been shared. Have been shed, the blood of the prophets and God's holy people, that blood has been shed. And so since their blood has been shed, God is giving back to them what they have done, giving blood to drink to those who have given blood to God. It says it is their just reward in verse 6 of chapter 16. And we're told that the judgments of God are true and just. Let's continue. What happens with the fourth of the seven final plagues? In verse 8 of chapter 16, it says, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. So the fourth and final plague is the sun becoming so hot that it scorches everyone with what is termed its fire. So the sun possesses the quality of fire and scorches everyone with the blast of its heat. And we're told that the response of individuals who experience the fourth of the seven final plagues, plague number four, is that they curse the name of God and that they do not repent of their sins and they do not turn to God and give him glory. So if people are cursing the name of God, these are individuals who are not Team Jesus. So we tend to think of human beings as existing in different categories. For example, male and female. Another example, Asians, Latinx, Europeans, Africans, Native Americans, older adults, younger adults, and children. I'm just giving some examples of different ways that we separate human beings to make sense of the different populations or subpopulations that exist. In the book of Revelation, over and over again, we thank you, everyone. My phone line was disconnected, but I've called back in. I hope that you can hear me and that the broadcast is continuing as it should. And so, as I was saying, over and over again, we see in the book of Revelation that God divides human beings into two groups this way. Group one, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And group two, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So for group one, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, these are the good fish, as described in Matthew, in the parable of the good fish and bad fish. These are the sheep, as described in the parable of the sheep and goats by Jesus Christ. These are the wheat, as described in yet another parable provided by Jesus Christ to help us understand these two groups, the way that human beings ultimately end. So the end of the world is coming. And after the end of the world, there's eternity future. And all humans either experience eternal life on the new earth. We transition to the new earth after the end of this world. If individuals fail to qualify for participation on the new earth, they necessarily experience eternal damnation in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever, which is in the outer darkness. And so when God talks about you and me, He talks about whether we are members of the group of individuals whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or whether you and I are members of the group of individuals whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when we look at this fourth plague, it says that the fire of the sun scorches everyone, and that everyone is burned by this blast of heat, and that they all curse the name of God who has control over all these plagues. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we don't curse God, we praise God. Let me say that again. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we don't curse God, we praise God. So that leads me to believe that the individuals who experience the fourth of the seven final plagues are individuals whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, let me share another scripture in the book of Revelation that appears to support the assertion that I just made. So when we look at the seven seals prophecy in chapter 7, verse 16, it says, "They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun." So this is talking about the individuals who died in the Great Tribulation, who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. And it says in verse 16, they will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. Okay, so we're clear on what the fourth of the seven final plagues is. Let's hear what the fifth plague number five is, what the fifth plague is in the seven plagues prophecy. Reading from verse 10 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores, but they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God." couple of interesting things here. First, let's begin with what specifically is the fifth and final plague? The fifth and final plague is darkness. So the throne of the beast, the physical location where the Antichrist will reign over the 10-nation alliance, it has a blackout. So maybe you've lived in a place where the electricity went down, the power grid went down, there's some kind of issue. So there will be a blackout in the physical location of the Antichrist who leads the 10-nation alliance during the Great Tribulation. So first, there's the Great Tribulation, which is the wrath of Satan. And how do we know it's the wrath of Satan? It's the ideas of Satan, the plans of Satan carried out by the Antichrist and the false prophet. And who does it negatively impact? Number one, Israel. And number two, the saints, those who are Christians. So a war is waged against Israel. That's described in chapter 12. And a war is waged against Christians. That's described in chapter 13. So the 1,260 days prophecy and the 666 Antichrist prophecy talk about that. So the wrath of Satan negatively impacts Israel and those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the wrath of God impacts those who are the enemies of God, those who have shed the blood of his prophets and his holy people. Those, and we'll see this at the end of the seven final plagues, those who wage war against Jesus and the armies of heaven. So here, with the fifth and final plague, we see that it says, the throne of the beast, his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Also, as part of this fifth and final plague, his subjects will grind their teeth in anguish. So by the time we get to the fifth and final plague, we're told that his subjects, now who are his subjects? The subjects of the beast, those who bear the mark of the beast on their forehead or on their hand. So if you are in Israel and you are part of those who remain in Israel to defend Jerusalem against the 10-nation alliance, you are not a subject of the Antichrist. If you have refused the mark of the beast and you live anywhere in the world and you've refused the mark of the beast because you are Team Jesus, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because you are a sheep of the good fish, a part of the wheat, then you are not a subject of the beast. You are not a subject of the Antichrist. So it's clear who is grinding their teeth in anguish because they have pains and sores. Let's hear that. His subjects, talking about the beast, let's hear that again. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores. So the fifth of the seven final plagues is made very plain here, as it's made very plain with the first of the seven plagues. Only those who are the subjects of the Antichrist experience this plague. Interestingly, as also noted with the fourth plague, we're told that despite experiencing this curse of God, the wrath of God, they fail to repent and they don't turn to God. Let's hear the sixth of the seven final plagues. Plague number six is reported in verses 12 and 12, 13, 14, and 15 and 16, it says, and we're again in chapter 16, reading the seven plagues prophecy from the New Living Translation, it says, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. Let's pause there. The Euphrates River will be dried up supernaturally. So it may be tending towards drying up now, but specifically, the angel of God will cause the Euphrates River to dry up. So this is a huge river. This river leads to the location. It's a pathway to the location where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. So God is creating a path for the enemies of God, the armies of the Antichrist, to come to the location where it has been preordained for Jesus Christ to arrive at as a result of him descending from the clouds of heaven on a white horse, followed by the armies of heaven. God knows where he wants to fight the Battle of Armageddon, and he has a plan to make sure that his enemies arrive at the specific location. So their location, as I've said many times before, it's not New York City, it's not Geneva, it's not Switzerland, it's not Tokyo, it's not Beijing, it's not Washington, D.C. The Battle of Armageddon is fought in a specific location in the nation of Israel. And how the armies led by the Antichrist and false prophet and the kings of the earth will get to this location in Israel is that they will traverse through a dried up Euphrates River. Let's continue in verse 13. It says, and I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God Almighty. Let's pause there. So many important and interesting things. So it's revealed here that judgment day, the great judgment day of God the Almighty, is the Battle of Armageddon. Let me say that again. The great judgment day of God the Almighty is the Battle of Armageddon. How do we know that? Verse 14 of chapter 16 says, they are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty. So it says here, the battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty. So again, what are we talking about? When we get to the sixth and final plague, we're getting to the culmination of the wrath of God. We're getting to, it's almost complete. And we're told that there are demonic spirits at work during this time on the earth. And where do they come from? The mouth of the dragon. Who's the dragon? The dragon is Satan. How do we know that? In Revelation chapter 20, in the millennial reign prophecy, the dragon is defined as Satan, that primeval serpent, Satan. So the dragon is clearly identified as Satan in Revelation chapter 20. Sometimes people get confused because in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we see that the bear and the leopard and the lion, that those are symbols of nations. And so they say, oh, the dragon must also be a symbol of a nation and is represents China. Well, we know that that isn't true because the book of Revelation provides us with an explicit definition of who the dragon is. The dragon is noted in several statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation and is explicitly defined as Satan. And so here we're told that these demonic spirits come from the mouth of Satan, the beast, who is the Antichrist and the false prophet. So we have God the Father, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit. Satan, who is a liar, a thief, and a plagiarizer, has a counterfeit Trinity. Well, what is it? The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Let's continue. Before we continue, let's say again, what is the sixth of the seven final plagues? It's the supernatural completion of the drying up of the Euphrates River. In verse 15, and verse 16, we hear a little bit more before we get to the seventh and final plague, which will bring to completion the wrath of God. It says, look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. So let's pause there. That's very important. So we're going to hear what the seventh and final plague is. But what is Armageddon? What is Armageddon? So it is a location, and we're told here in the book of Revelation that the Hebrew name is Armageddon, and that it is a place, and that the demonic spirits actually gather all the rulers and their armies. So what does God do? God has an angel supernaturally pour out his sixth and final plague, which dries up the river Euphrates in order to create a path for the armies led by the Antichrist to travel through so that they arrive at this place called Armageddon. That's the Hebrew term for it. However, Satan actually gathers all the rulers and their armies. Now, how does that work? How is it that God and Satan are engaged in actions that appear to be of one accord? Satan wants to take Jerusalem. More wars have been fought over Jerusalem than any city or any town that has ever existed. God declared in the Old Testament and in the book of Revelation, in the New Earth prophecy, that once Jesus Christ destroys the five enemies of God, the end of the world occurs, and we transition to a new heaven and a new earth. And on this new earth, God will bring down from heaven a city that will merge onto the new earth. Can you guess what that city is? I bet you have. That city is the New Jerusalem. And it will merge onto the new earth at a specific location in Israel, which is, you guessed it, Jerusalem. And so God has said, I'm going to relocate my abode, God the Father. Now remember, Jesus Christ is returning. And Jesus Christ, so that's God in his earth suit, God manifest in the flesh, is Jesus Christ. He's returning as the Lion of Judah to fight the Battle of Armageddon. And he will establish his government and will be on this earth for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, many events happen. We've talked about those events before. We'll talk about them again in the future. But for now, staying on track with the seven plagues prophecy, not only will Jesus live on the new earth, but God the Father in his form will also live on the new earth, but he will not come to the new earth until it is prepared for him. While Jesus can dwell on a corruptible earth, God the Father will not. After the five enemies of God have been destroyed and we transition to a new earth, Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, descends from heaven. It merges onto the new earth in Israel, and God the Father comes with it. And so on the new earth, there's eternal life for every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And on this new earth, with all of us who are Team Jesus, will be God the Father and Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh in his glorified body. Now, let me share a little bit about that briefly. You might say, I've never heard that. I thought the point of it all was heaven. No, heaven is a temporary location. Randy Chandler has referred to heaven as a storage tank. Storage tank for who? For disembodied spirits who are in Christ. Randy Alcorn, who's written a book on heaven, has referred to it as a layover. And he gives this example, which I think is another great example. I love the example of heaven as a storage tank. That's exactly what it is. And it's also a layover. We say, how is it a layover? Well, if you were going to Washington, D.C., from where you live, you might take a flight, and that flight might go to JFK Airport in New York City, because you don't have a direct flight, and you have to stop in New York City, but you're not going to stay in New York City forever because you're en route to Washington, D.C., to the capital of the United States of America. So in that way, New York City is a layover, even though it's a destination for you on your travels. And so in the same way, every person who experiences the first death, who falls asleep, and who is in Christ, who dies in Christ, goes to heaven, but it is merely a layover. It's a storage tank because we know, as described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in the earth-reaped prophecy in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation, we know that every person who goes to heaven ultimately returns to this present earth. You say, what? Are you sure? Absolutely. 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 Let me share that with you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're told about when every person leaves the layover location. What's that? Heaven. Every person in Christ leaves the layover location, and they come back to this present earth. And ultimately, they transition to the new earth. But let's talk about coming back to the present earth. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. What's forever? The first 1,000 years on this present earth and eternity future after the end of the world. Eternity future that happens on the new earth. Now, let me share with you also about the reality of the new earth. And then we're going to go and hear the seventh final plague, because this might be the first time you're hearing it. If it's not your first time hearing it, bear with me. I want to communicate this important information about how God the Father is coming to the new earth and why Jerusalem is under attack, why God himself is going to come to defend Jerusalem. Now you say, well, why is he going to do that? Because God has declared that he's moving from heaven, which is a dynamic, beautiful place, to earth. But God the Father is not coming to this corruptible earth where trees die and animals kill each other and humans live in bodies that reach a peak and then begin to decline, where there's war and evil. God the Father is not coming to this present earth. He's coming to the new earth. When does the new earth happen? At the end of the world. Let's talk about this new earth briefly. It says in the new earth prophecy in Revelation 21, verse 22, I saw no temple in the city. So this is talking about the New Jerusalem. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God omnipotent himself and the Lamb himself are its temple. Did you hear that, friend? So, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I am a daughter. I am a best friend. I am a cousin, yet I am one. And so in our human minds, we're trying to comprehend all that God is. And it's hard for us to do. But we know that the word of God is true. And so it says in the Old Testament, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And God the Father is also God the Son. We're told elsewhere in the Bible that Jesus Christ is the root of David and also the offspring. But staying here, talking about Jerusalem and why Jesus Christ is coming to defend Jerusalem in preparation for what it will be during the 1,000-year millennial reign and what it will be on the new earth. We're told on the new earth in verse 22 of chapter 21 in the new earth prophecy in the book of Revelation, I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God omnipotent himself and the Lamb himself are its temple. And talking about this city, talking about this city in verse 2 of the same chapter, it says, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautified and adorned for her husband. Then I heard a mighty voice from the throne, and I perceived its distinct words, saying, see, the abode of God is with men, and he will live in camp, tent among them, and they shall be his people, and God shall personally be with them and be their God. And so, there is a strategic plan that gets us to the specific point in time where the end of the world occurs, which is something to look forward to because the end of the world precedes our transition to the new earth. And so let's talk about the beginning of the end of the world, which is, in my opinion, the Great Tribulation followed by the wrath of God, which we're looking at right now. So we've been talking about the sixth and final plague, which is the river being dried up for the purposes of the armies led by the Antichrist to travel to Armageddon. That's the Hebrew term. Now, what is Armageddon? So Armageddon is a location in Israel. It's the prophesied location of a gathering of armies, and it is the Mount of Megiddo in northern Israel. And according to what I'm reading on the internet, it's a mound or hill created by many generations of people living and rebuilding on the same spot. So this is a physical location in northern Israel, the Mount of Megiddo, and in Hebrew, it's referred to as Armageddon. So Armageddon comes from Har Megiddo, which means a mountain or range of hills. Okay, so let's continue. What is the seventh and final plague? Let's hear about it in verses 17 to 21. This is so important. The seventh and final plague is super important. It represents the completion of the wrath of God. So remember, we have the wrath of Satan, which will be a time of crisis and great distress like there has never, ever been on the earth before and like there will never, ever be again. It lasts for a finite period of time, only 1,260 days, only 42 months, only 3.5 years. The wrath of Satan, which is the Great Tribulation, is followed by the wrath of God. And so we're told that the blood of God's holy people and God's prophets have been shed. And now, once the wrath of Satan has ended, the wrath of God has come. And so one of the seven final plagues is turning the sea to blood, and then an escalation turning the rivers and springs to blood. Now we're at the seventh and final plague. So what is it? Reading from the New Living Translation, it says, "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple, saying, 'It is finished.' Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm." That is the end of the full report of the seven final plagues. Let's talk about the seventh and final plague. So many things happen with the seventh and final plague. We heard hailstones that are 75 pounds. So a couple years ago in Silver Spring, I was in downtown Silver Spring, and all of a sudden there was this hail, And hailstones came down that were, I think the largest one I saw was maybe 2 inches in diameter. And it felt like a crisis. I stayed inside. People ran inside. There were injuries to cars and other things. It lasted a short while. I'm going to estimate that maybe the heaviest one of those hailstones weighed was a couple pounds. But imagine a 75-pound hailstone falling anywhere. That's going to cause significant damage. And the response of people is that they curse God. Now, who would curse God? Only those who are Team Satan. What else happens during this, when the seventh and final plague is poured out? We're told that it is finished, that there's thunder, that there's lightning, and an earthquake. The seventh and final plague matches the description of the seventh trumpet war. Now, what's the seventh trumpet war? It's the Battle of Armageddon. In February of 2023, we'll be talking about the seven trumpets war for every show. And in January, we'll be talking about the seven seals prophecy. So about the Battle of Armageddon, which is the seventh trumpet war, seventh trumpet war aligns with the seventh and final plague. So the sixth plague happens to prepare for the Battle of Armageddon, and the seventh and final plague includes the Battle of Armageddon. It's not limited to the Battle of Armageddon, but it includes it. So what all does it include? Let's go in order, beginning with verse 17. It includes thunder. It says the thunder crashes and rolls. It includes flashing lightning. It includes a really bad earthquake. It says the worst earthquake that has ever happened since people were, quote, unquote, placed on the earth. Specifically, Babylon, which is a city. So the purple and scarlet prophecy give us a full report on what happens to the city of Babylon, the great city, Mystery Babylon, during the wrath of God. But here in the seven plagues prophecy, we're simply told that about Mystery Babylon, that following the earthquake, it splits into three sections. And we're also told that the cities of many nations fall into heaps of rubble. Does it say all nations? No. It says many nations. In the same sentence describing what happens to Babylon. And God notes that he remembers all of Babylon's sins and makes her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. So the great wine press described in the marriage supper prophecy in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation is the Battle of Armageddon. So the great wine press is what happens to the clusters of grapes. That's the tares who are there at the Battle of Armageddon. The clusters of grapes are crushed during the great wine press. What's the great wine press? What God does to the armies led by the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the kings of the earth. And so here, when the seventh and final plague happens, it includes, but it's not limited to, the Battle of Armageddon. Finally, we're told that part of the seventh and final plague being unleashed is a terrible hailstorm. So let's go over that again. So the seventh and final plague is the culmination. It's the culmination of the wrath of God. It includes crashing thunder, flashing lightning, a great earthquake, the Battle of Armageddon, and 75-pound hailstones, and yet people will still curse God. Of course, It's those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friend, I hope you will join me again when we continue discussion and analysis of the seven plagues prophecy every Tuesday and every Sunday live on PGN, live on this internet broadcast in December of 2022. We're talking about the seven plagues prophecy. I urge you, according to Jeremiah 33:3, to call out to God. He will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.